Hey, come on, all across this place, would you just lift up a shout of praise to Jesus? Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, God. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you, Jesus. God, we love you all across this place. Come on, from the front to the back, left and the right, lift your hands high to heaven. Say this prayer with me. Say, dear Jesus. Come on, say it with faith. Say, dear Jesus, I'm here tonight for you. I ask, would you come, speak to me, challenge me, change me. I want to leave different. I love you, God, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, come on, let's give Jesus one more clap of praise. Come on, take 15 seconds and give God some praise right now. Come on, just get a little bit undignified. Forget about the person next to you. Give God some glory. Come on, 5 more seconds. We love you, Jesus. Hey, stay standing all across this place. I want to read a scripture from Mark chapter 2, verse number 5. If you've got your Bible, you can turn with me there. If you don't, it will be on the screen behind me. This is what it says in the Gospel of Mark. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, someone say, my child. Turn to your neighbor and say, my child. Turn to your other neighbor and say, my China. That's what South Africans call children. My China, Joe. My child, your sins are forgiven. You know, last term at our end of year party, who was here week 10 last term? Awesome, awesome. A lot of the room. You know, I felt the Lord give me a sermon that night called Spiritual Welfare. Who was in the room for that night? Amazing, amazing. You know, if you weren't there, it's on YouTube. I want to encourage you to actually go there and listen to that message, because I just felt like what God started in week 10 last year is the beginning, not the end, of a conversation He wants to have with us. And I even just felt like what God did that night was the first part of what He wants to keep doing in us, because the Bible says that He who began the good work in you is faithful and carries it unto completion. How many of you know we serve a God that doesn't just begin things? We serve a God who finishes things. Have you noticed that if you've needed to forgive someone, He doesn't just speak to you once, He speaks to you about it again and again. Why? Because He carries the work through to completion. And I just felt there was a conversation of not living off of the faith of others, but learning to carry our own faith that God was wanting us to actually walk into. And I love it because the Bible says that seeing their faith, someone say faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, faith. Seeing their faith, he turned to the paralyzed man and said, son, your sins are forgiven. Or child, your sins are forgiven. See, it wasn't their effort. It wasn't their holiness. It wasn't even their performance. It was their faith that caused Jesus to turn to a paralyzed man and actually move in his life. And I just so believe Nations Youth Ministry that God is wanting to move in our city. And I don't just say our city, I believe God is wanting to move in Ross Point High School. I believe God is wanting to move in Applecross Senior High School. He's wanting to move in, He's not just wanting to move in high school, He's wanting to move in your life, in your class, in your form. But the ingredient that's gonna cause the hand of God to not just move in our lives, but move in a generation that doesn't even know Him yet. It's not our performance, it's not our perfection, it's not our effort, it's not our striving, but it is our faith. And I just felt like week 10 was the start of a conversation that God wants to continue to have with us. So I'm so excited to announce tonight that term one, the word that I feel so impressed in my spirit and the theme of our nation's youth, term one, is simply this: faith. And I want to take a moment and prophesy that God is not just teaching us about faith. He's raising a generation that knows how to steward their faith. God's raising up a generation that know how to operate in the realm of faith, that know how to use their faith, that know how to grow their faith. I believe God's raising up a generation whose faith is not shifted when they face mountains, but they know how to speak to mountains, they know how to speak to devils, they know how to speak to sicknesses. See, Jesus didn't say, complain about your mountain. He said, believe and speak to your mountain. God's raising up young people that know how to face mountains, that know how to speak to giants, that know how to use the faith they have. God is raising up not just a leadership team, but your 7s, your 12s that know how to operate in the realm of faith. Can you say amen? And you know, I know you're still standing. Stay standing. This idea of faith, it's something I just feel as the now word of God. And we actually, over a year ago, we had a leaders retreat and we had a guest speaker, Pastor Chris Hodgman, come. And he shared a prophetic message for not just our leaders, but us as a youth ministry. And I want to read some of that to you because I believe it's so powerful and potent about what God is doing in this time, in this hour. And you got to know, if you're year 8 and you're in this room and this is your home, this is your youth ministry, what is being shared here, it's not just for the leaders, it's for you. We got to understand where we plant ourselves is where we receive from. That's why being planted is so important. When I come to Nations Church on Sunday, this isn't just Pastor Ken's top message. This is the word of God for my life. Because I'm in this, I'm planted in this house. What grows in the house grows in me. Why? Because I'm planted in the house. That's why we challenge you to be planted in youth ministry. Don't leave it up to how you feel. Make a decision. I'm going to be in the house every Friday night. Doesn't matter if my friend's coming, I'm coming. Why? Because when you're planted, what grows in the house grows in you. Can you say amen? Pastor Chris shared this message and it's actually on YouTube and you can access it later. It's all up there on our YouTube channel, as well as every sermon from summer camp is live on YouTube. If you want to rewatch Pastor Harry, Pastor Nikki or myself, Nations Youth YouTube. But this is what Pastor Chris said. It goes for a little while, but you know, 2 minutes maybe. Hear my urgency when I say this. You need to understand tonight that Nations, you need to realize who you are. You have an apostolic and prophetic mantle on your life and on your ministry and on your leadership. And there is a nation and the nations of the world waiting for you to realize who you are. He went on to say, you are not the tail, you are the head. You are no longer just the crew doing great things for God. You are called to be out front, leading the body of Christ into a better day. This word gets convicting, but it requires you to not just have moments of faith, but to live in the faith world. To dwell there, to breathe there, to live there, to wake up, to fall asleep, to go to work there, to go to university there, that He's inviting you in, saying, there's a realm that I dwell in and I'm inviting you into it. The formula of the past won't get you there. The methodology of the past won't get you there. You'll say to Jesus, Jesus, we saw at this summer camp or at this conference or this Friday night or this connect group, we saw you do this and drive out that and heal that. How come it didn't work this time? And God is saying, because this is not a methodology issue. This is a faith issue. And I just feel there is an invitation for not just the leaders, but if you're in this room tonight, there's an invitation for you to not just know about faith, but learn to live in the faith realm. The Bible says faith is the reality of things. Hope for faith. It's a world. It's a world Jesus lived in. And there's an invitation for you and I to not just visit that world, but learn to live there. And if you've been a part of our youth ministry for more than 6 months, you would have experienced times where we visited that world, where God's presence sweeps in, people get healed, touched, people get saved. It's amazing, you know, summer camp moments, all that. But I feel like God doesn't just want us to have a moment of faith. He wants us to learn to live in the realm of faith. He wants us to learn to live in the reality of faith. Jesus saw their faith. See, faith isn't just something we conjure up for a service. God doesn't just want us to have a couple of great services or a great few nights this term. He wants to invite us into a new reality where faith isn't just what the pastor's doing or the leader's doing, it's what I'm doing. That faith is something I'm carrying. Faith is something that I'm bringing. And I want to believe that this term, that we're going to teach you by the power of the Holy Spirit how to operate in the world of faith. How to use your faith, how to grow your faith the difference between faith and hope. How to deal with doubt when doubt comes. And I pray that your faith is strengthened, your faith is stirred, your faith is utilized, and that you would be a young person who says, I am a faith person. That the reality of faith is an invitation for you. And maybe you're here tonight and you're like, man, I don't even have any faith. Maybe you're here tonight and say, I used to have heaps of faith, but it feels small now. It feels like it's withered away. I pray wherever you're at tonight, whether you got the most faith in the room or you feel like you got the least, I pray that you'd have an encounter with the author and perfecter of faith. And that at the end of the service, when we open this altar, there'll be an invitation for you to step into the world of faith. And it's not just a world for us on a Friday night. It's a world for you to live in when you go to school. It's a world for you to live in when you get in the car and drive home with your parents tonight. It is a new reality that is different to the reality of this world. Can you say amen? So would you lift your hands all across this room? Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that it's not striving or effort, it's faith. I even ask tonight as I teach and as I preach, Holy Spirit, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would release the gift of faith in this room. I ask, Father God, that you would take pressure off people where there is pressure on them. I pray that you would teach us the difference between what is hope and what is faith. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us as a youth ministry to live and to operate in the world of faith. God, would we see things we've never seen before because we learn to live in a reality we've never lived in before. We love you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, come on, one more time, give Jesus a clap of praise. So tonight, week one, term one, term theme, faith, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Sermon number one, week number one, if you're taking notes, write this at the top of your page. The title of my sermon tonight is this, faith is. Because for us to live in a reality called faith, we got to learn what faith is. Would you give Jesus one more clap of praise? Thank you, God, for all that you're doing. Thanks so much, team, as well. You guys are good to go. Faith is. Also, we've got some really cool wallpapers as well. Can we pop them up? Do we? Look at these. They're coming up. Oh, I'll get out of the way. You guys can take your seat, by the way. You can take a seat. Scan the QR code. Wow. How good is that? All of these are individual wallpapers. Can we just thank Maddie for making those? Praise God for Maddie. So good. You can save those, download those, put them in your phone, save it as your wallpaper, let it bless you. You guys ready for the Word of God? Come on. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is, someone say faith is. Come on, say faith is. I believe before we have to look at what faith is, we've got to understand what faith is not. See, the Bible says faith is the assurance. Someone say assurance. Of things hoped for. It is the conviction. Someone say conviction of things not seen. See, faith is not hoping something's going to happen. Faith is knowing in your inner man it's going to happen. Faith is the conviction. It's the assurance that what you're hoping for is going to happen. If you're writing notes, I want you to write this down. Faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is not hope. Faith is not adding Jesus to your wish list. Faith is not striving for something to happen. Faith isn't I hope for something to change. Faith is I know something's going to change right now. See, Jesus said anything is possible if a person believes. Jesus said you can pray for anything. And if you have faith, someone say faith, you will receive it. See, the problem I think we run into is it's not that we're not praying, it's that we're praying without faith. We run into trouble when we ask in hope rather than ask in faith. We run into trouble where we pray in desire rather than pray in faith. See, faith isn't the hope that something's going to change. Faith is the assurance this thing's going to shift. And there is a difference, young person, between praying in desire or praying in hope and praying in faith. But God is inviting you into a reality where you don't just pray in desire or hope. You begin to pray in assurance. You begin to pray in conviction. You begin to pray in faith. Can you say amen? I remember I was at the Apple store years ago when I was working there, and I felt as I was working, there was another lady, her name was Helen, and I felt like the Lord told me to pray for her because she had a headache. And I didn't really want to pray for her, but you know when God speaks, you just kind of got to obey. And so I asked if I could pray for her, and she's like, yeah, no worries, that's great. We're out the back. And have you ever prayed for someone and it was just easy to believe it was going to happen? There's a difference between like you're praying like, I really hope this works, and you're praying like, I just know God's moving right now. This was one of those times where it wasn't difficult to believe. It wasn't a striving, trying to beat my chest to conjure up faith. No, there was just a faith in my heart that something was going to happen in her life. I'd prayed for many people many times and hadn't seen a lot take place, but in this moment, I just felt like God was on it. And so I took her hands and we prayed together. And even as I'm praying, I just begin to get overwhelmed with the presence of God. And I know in the core of my heart that God is doing something in her. It didn't matter what I saw with the natural eyes. My spiritual eyes could sense Jesus was up to say, see what had happened. I tapped out of the natural realm and I tapped into the faith realm. And then I open my eyes and I say amen. And I look at her and she has tears streaming down her face. She wasn't even a Christian. As the presence of God overwhelmed her, touched her, and completely healed her of that migraine right there and then in that, shift. What was the difference? It wasn't praying in hope. It was praying in faith. See, when faith is there, it is as good as done. When faith is present, if you can believe, you will receive. And I believe God is wanting to restore an understanding of the gift of faith and not just how it works, but how it can work in your life. Because I want to tell some young people, Jesus said in this life, you will have trouble. And I'm not prophesying doom and gloom, but if you live life, you are going to run into difficult problems. You're going to be married one day and you're going to have a marriage and there might be a problem in the marriage. Your kids might be struggling in school. Your kids might have a health crisis. I'm not prophesying that. Just we face mountains all the time. And if it's not you, you might know someone who is in need of a miracle. You might even know someone in your world right now who has a mountain, who is in need of a miracle to come into their life. And I believe God wants to restore an understanding of the gift of faith so that you're not shaken when mountains come, but that you learn how to live in the reality of faith and don't get intimidated by mountains, but see mountains moved. That just because the doctors say it can't happen, Jesus has a different report. Just because man says it's impossible, God says with God, all things are possible. But the key, it's learning to live in the realm of faith. So how do we live in the realm of faith? How do we get faith? How does this operate? I've got 3 points tonight that I pray will bless you, that will help you, that will bring clarity to your life, and I pray that they'll stir the faith you already have as you realize that what God has given you is good enough to be used by Him. Can you say amen? Point number one, if you're taking notes, is simply this. Faith is given. Someone say given. Turn your neighbor and say given. Faith is given by God. See, we run into problems when we think we can give ourselves faith. If we think, man, if I just pray a little bit more, if I can just stamp my feet a little bit more, if I can just spin in 10 more circles, maybe then I'll get faith in my heart. If I can just shout a little bit louder, maybe then faith will come. If I can fast just a couple days more, maybe then faith will come. I've got good news for you tonight. Faith is not something you can give yourself. Why do I know this? The Bible says this in Hebrews 12. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion, who initiates, someone say initiates, and perfects our faith. In other words, faith doesn't come from you. Faith comes from Jesus. Romans 12 verse 3 says God has given the second part of that verse, it says, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. See, faith is given, not earned. Faith is bestowed, not achieved. And I've seen so many young people fall into striving, fall into stress, fall into pressure because they're trying to accomplish something in their flesh that can only be accomplished by faith. No amount of the flesh will get the job done. You need faith to come into that situation. And so if faith is given, how do we operate in the world of faith. If it doesn't come from us, it comes from God. How do we get faith? See, we can make our list, our prayer list, and say, I want to, you know, more money. I want a better grades. I want a new car. I want better health. And we can just put Jesus on it and call it faith. But faith isn't what we're hoping for mixed with Jesus. Faith actually gets birthed in us by God Himself. Faith is given, not earned. So what do I do if I haven't got faith in an area? That's a good question. What if I'm in this situation, I've got an incurable disease in my body, and if I want to be totally honest, I really struggle to believe God's going to heal it, you know? Just being real. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe that's someone you know. How do you get faith for God to move? Well, there's this empty cup of water here. And if I was to give you the instructions, hey, I want you to get this full of rain water fresh from the sky. The reality is, you cannot actually make it rain. You can't produce rainwater out of thin air. You can't change the weather system. You're actually out of control at the request. But you know what you can do? Is you can actually get on an airplane and fly somewhere where it rains all the time. You can get into the right location. You can go to Bali. Hello, somebody. You can go to Hilo. It's a place in America where it rains 80% of the year. You can go there, you can step outside, and you can position the cup for the rain to fall into it. See, I want to tell you, yes, faith is given by God, but you are not powerless if you feel like you haven't got faith. The Bible says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to tell you, if you're in this place and you're lacking faith in an area, it's time to get your heart into the area of God's word. You can't cause the sky to rain, but you can position yourself under it. You can't force faith to happen, but what you can do is you can open this book, you can get into the Word, you can read Scripture, and as you read Scripture, something comes alive inside of you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. If you haven't got faith in an area, it's time to get the Word in that area. So practically, man, I'm believing God's going to increase my grades. I'm on C's and D's, and it's really struggling. I need to get to B's and A's. What am I going to do? Well, my first question is, what scriptures are you believing in? Is your prayer a wish list or is it a faith list? Because you can believe God for anything according to His Word. You know, there was a preacher, his name was Kenneth E. Hagin. He's passed away now, but he really moved in this area of faith and miracles. And many times he'd have people come up to him and ask, hey, would you pray for me? I'm believing for this miracle in my body and cancer, headaches, all types of things. And he would always ask this question, what scriptures have you been standing on for your breakthrough? And he recorded that 80% of people didn't have one verse they were believing God for. So we've got a disconnect between what we want and where faith is. And sometimes before breakthrough comes in an area, revelation needs to come into that area. Sometimes before God moves, God actually speaks. Come on. God said, let there be light, and then the movement happened. If you need a breakthrough in your body, it's time to saturate your soul with scriptures of healing. Come on, somebody. If you need a breakthrough in your mental health, it's time to saturate your soul with scriptures about your mind being made right, about the Lord being a shepherd, about a restored soul. If you're in this place and you need money, you need breakthrough in finances, it's time to focus less on how much money you have and focus more on the promises of the Word of God. He's called you to be the head and not the tail. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. See, faith isn't a wish list. Faith is the word in action in our lives. I want to challenge you, when you face impossibilities, hear God in His word. Get scripture, build a case to stand upon. Kenneth Hagin would say, don't just get one scripture, but get many scriptures that build a case for your soul to believe. What happens as you read more and more scriptures, faith begins to grow. Faith begins to enlarge. See, I years ago, I didn't even plan to share this testimony, I just feel led to. I had a issue where I really felt like I wasn't right with God. I heard a voice say, if you do that, I won't forgive you. And then I did that thing. And then I was like, crap, I'm not forgiven. And that was literally my life for a year and a half. And I was nervous that I'd fallen from God. I'm now going to hell and it's irreversible. There's nothing I can do. And I prayed many times, God, would you set me free? God, would you show me? Would you speak to me? Show me if you're there. And God, through his grace and his mercy, didn't answer initially, but he did answer through his word. And rather than leading me to an experience only, the Holy Spirit led me to the word. And I had to learn how to live off of the word of God, not my feelings or thoughts. And for a year and a half, I just ate the Bible. I ate scripture, like the book of Hebrews, probably 30 times. I'm not even kidding. The book of Romans. And what I would do is, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So, you know, when you read the Bible and something jumps out and it's like, oh my gosh, what's that? You're hearing God, okay? That's the hearing moment. I would take those scriptures, I would write them down, and I would get a little ammunition list, like a gun in my pocket, of scriptures that declare it, I'm actually right with God, not because of what I do or don't do, but because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I'll get scriptures that say, he who knew no sin became sin so that in him I could become the righteousness of God. Scriptures that say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they have become a new person. Old things are past, all things become new. The Bible says that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I would get scripture and scripture and I would meditate my soul in it for about a year and a half, and I still didn't have breakthrough. I still had fear. I still had condemnation. I still had insecurity until one day I got to the point, it was a Saturday afternoon, and I was like, I'm so done with this feeling of shame, this feeling of condemnation. I made an agreement in my heart, God, I'm going to declare every one of these scriptures over my life every day until breakthrough comes. And it was like a long list. It was probably took about 20 minutes to get through. But it was either that or feeling like I was condemned. So I'm just going to go with that one. And then the next day, I was at church, and some of you might have heard this testimony. I came to the front during this altar call, and I had a man of God pray for me. He said these words, a broken and contrite heart you will not despise, O God. And he just walked off. Then as I'm kneeling there, I just feel Jesus himself come stand before me. And I get totally overwhelmed by the presence of God. I hadn't experienced the heaviness. It was no longer, I need to believe this is God. It's, I just know God is here in this moment. And this condemnation, the spirit of accusation, it just lifted off me literally in that moment. It wasn't a loud scream, but there was wailing and there was crying as God healed my soul and restored me. And honestly, for about an hour, I laid there on the carpet at the old Myrie building as God restored my soul. An hour and a half later, Gary Wenham, one of the great elders in our house now, came up and placed a hand on me. And all he said was this, Father, I thank you that a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. And I just knew God had set me free. I knew God had delivered me. And I want to tell you, young person, I actually got set free and I've been totally delivered since that moment. That the ability to believe I'm right isn't hard anymore. It's easy because God's given me conviction there now. But what people sometimes don't understand is that moment of breakthrough happened after a year and a half journey of getting into this thing. See, we run into problems when we compare breakthroughs to each other. Because sometimes the way God wants to come through for you is different to the way he wants to come through for someone else. Sometimes we come to an altar and it doesn't happen at that altar, and we write wrong theology and say, it's not God's will to heal me. Wrong theology that says, it's not God's will that I pray in tongues. It's not God's will to move like this. This is for some people, not for everyone. And we allow our experience to produce our reality rather than live in the faith reality. I want to encourage you in this place tonight. Yes, faith comes by hearing, so you can't produce it yourself. But what you can do is learn to live in the word. Learn to live in the faith reality, because in that place, faith comes, and the moment faith comes, breakthrough takes place. Can you say amen? And so I'm excited to announce that starting next week as a whole youth ministry, we're going to do a Bible reading plan together. Because we don't just want to tell you to get in the word. We actually want to set you up for a win. And so as every Connect group, next Friday night on our Connect night, I'm going to be preaching about how to hear God through his word. We're going to go to Connects, and we're going to start a Bible reading plan that goes for, is it 40 days? 40 days time, every single day, we're in connect groups. We're going to be in group chat saying, what did you get from this message today? What's that? We're going to stir each other in faith. Why? We need to have young people that don't just visit the reality of faith, but learn to live under the reality of faith. And so I challenge you, not only be in the room next Friday, but get excited because we are going to get in the Word of God together. And you know, just a slight caveat. Sometimes, I don't know if you've been there before. I just feel like sharing tonight. How good's that? But have you ever been there before and you read like a passage and you're kind of like, what was the point of reading that? Or is that just me? Is there anyone else out there tonight? Okay, good. I'll thank you for your honesty over there. Me and her, only honest people. Rest of you, liars. That I have these moments, but the Bible says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you. Someone say remind you. Of everything I have said to you. I've had so many times, I've read a scripture, it's made no sense, I didn't get any revelation, no faith moment. But 2 months later, in prayer, the Holy Spirit reminds me of it. And it speaks into my situation. I want to challenge you, no time in the Word is ever time wasted. Because when you read passages and it doesn't make sense, you know what you're doing? You're giving God something to remind you of later. You're giving the Holy Spirit something to remind you of. Like you're giving God ammunition to give faith into your heart. And so I want to encourage us to be open-hearted and to commit to the reading plan. But the Bible says faith is the confidence that what we hope for and assurance that what we do not see. When you have faith for something, you don't need to strive. The moment you have faith, it's as good as done. Faith is given by God, but we can get ourselves in the right area to receive from God. Point number one, faith is given by God. You okay so far? We're going to keep powering through. Point number two, if you're taking notes, is this. Faith is an action. Turn to your neighbor and say, action. Turn to your other neighbor and say, do something. Faith is an action. See, when you have faith, faith actually looks like something in your life. James 2 puts it this way in verse number 17. Man, what a privilege it is to teach the Word of God tonight. I'm, Lord, loving this right now. This is just good for my own soul. I might be strapped in a straitjacket in an insane asylum somewhere. Leave me there. I'm having a good time because in this reality, it's going well. Amen. James chapter 2, verse number 17. It says, in the same way, faith by itself. Someone say by itself. If it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Someone say, dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. Then we jump down, and it gives the example of Abraham in verse 22. It says, you see his faith and, someone say, and, his actions were working together, and his faith made complete what he did. His faith was made complete by what he did. See, faith requires movement. Faith requires action. The Bible says, you say you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. Have you ever considered when the Bible says seeing their faith, how did Jesus see their faith? It was evident in their action. See, they didn't just believe that Jesus had the power to heal. They believed Jesus had the power to heal right here, right now. They didn't just believe that Jesus was going to stop by on the way out. They believed that there was an anointing available they needed to act upon. And so they broke through the roof. They laid the man on the mat and their faith actually looked like an action and Jesus saw it. See, your faith is not just internal. Your faith is actually external. The Bible says, James 2 verse 26, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without works. I want to encourage you, faith requires action. But here's the caveat. The action is a response to the prompting, not an absence of the prompting. The action is a response to the faith, not because you don't have faith. For example, action completes the faith that doesn't start the faith. So you believe God is going to speak to a youth ministry. Because you believe that, your actions make that faith complete. That action looks like you're coming hungry for God. That action looks like you're bringing your Bible with you. That action looks like you're writing notes in the... That action looks like you're saying yes and amen as God is speaking to you. It's because the action is linked to your conviction. That you're convicted, God is speaking, and because of that, your actions communicate that. Maybe God speaks to you about doing a 3-day fast to seek Him at the beginning of this year. I want to tell you, faith isn't necessarily hearing God about fasting. Faith is fasting for 3 days. That action is actually what makes that faith complete. Maybe for you, you're in a mental health struggle and you pray and you hear God and you feel God prompt you to go to a psychologist. I want to tell you, going to that Christian psychologist is actually faith. Because you're responding to what He gave you. I want to tell you that maybe you've got a challenge in your mental health and God speaks to you about coming hungry to a particular week. I know this term, we're going to have a night of healing and miracles in week 5, praise God. We'll tell you a little bit more about that in a moment. But maybe God speaks to you about coming to that night hungry, believing God for breakthrough. I want to tell you, coming hungry, believing God for breakthrough is faith. So what one is faith? Is it going to the psychologist or is it coming to Youth Hungry? Faith is the one that God prompts you to do. Faith is when the action is linked to the prompting. We hear by the word, but we act in faith. So I want to tell you, if you want to learn to live in the faith realm, you've got to learn to marry your faith to obedience. I want to challenge you, in week 5, we are doing a night of miracles this term at Nations Youth Ministry. You know what your faith looks like on week 5? It looks like not just coming, it looks like coming believing God's going to move. Maybe you don't need a miracle in your body, maybe someone else around you does. You know what faith looks like? It looks like you actually declaring scriptures that week over that Friday night. And saying, God, I thank you that by your stripes we are healed. God, I thank you. And finding passages where Jesus healed people and declaring it in prayer. It's not just I'm hoping God's going to move. No, I've got a conviction and my conviction looks like something. Faith looks like coming with an expectation, coming with a hunger. Faith isn't okay by itself. It needs the marriage of action to be made complete. And so if we want to live in the faith reality, faith isn't just given by God. Faith is acted on by us. I want to challenge you. Learn to be a young person who responds to the faith God gives you. You know, one thing we're going to do this term is in our MC closed worship, we're going to have faith in action moments. Where every time an MC gets on the platform, what we've asked them to do is to hear God about something He wants to do in the room. And then take a step of faith and do something about that. So maybe for them, the action is giving a prophetic word to someone. Maybe for them, it's stepping out and seeing if there's a word of knowledge in the room. Maybe for them, it's praying for healing of a specific condition. It's not about what is the faith. We just want to celebrate people taking actions. Because faith isn't made complete except by action. So you might not be responsible for the amount of faith you have, but you are completely responsible for what your faith prompts you to do. So what is your faith prompting you to do? You're on your way home and your faith prompts you to go read your Bible and be with God. See, faith isn't just hearing that. Faith is getting in the room and praying and seeking Jesus. You see someone who is sick and your faith prompts you to go pray for them. You've got to go pray for them and you don't have faith for everyone, but you have faith for that one. I want to encourage you, faith looks like praying for that person. You don't have to pray for everyone, but you do need to pray for those that God gives you faith for. You're in prayer for a Friday night and your faith prompts you to invite a friend or to fast or to come expecting God. Your faith doesn't look like hoping your friend comes. Your faith looks like calling him and saying, would you come with me? Let me pick you up. Your faith looks like interceding. Your faith actually has an action to it. To live in the reality of faith, you must learn to respond to when your faith prompts you to do something. The problem is we run into problems when we mimic people's actions, but not necessarily their faith. So we hear a testimony of Joseph Gann, who had a foot disease. Sorry, Joe. And he got healed after doing a 3-day fast
and Mike Malice prayed for him at church. So we think, wait a second, I know someone with a smelly foot. My uncle Jerry. I'm going to get Uncle Jerry to fast 3 days, and I'm going to bring him to church, and Mike Malice is going to heal him. Now, God might do that, but the problem is God hasn't necessarily asked you to do that. So, like, we see in the Bible, in John chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man. And he doesn't just heal it by saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. He makes mud by spitting in the ground, makes a little mud paste, puts it in his eyes, and says, now go wash in the pool called Siloam, which is like a 20-minute walk away. And then as the guy did, he got healed. We also see in another account, blind Bartimaeus, Jesus says, according to your faith, be it unto you, and instantly he could see. Which one was Jesus? Both. But we run into problems when we compare our breakthroughs to each other and say, unless it looks like Bartimaeus, it's not God. Or unless it looks like the man with mud in his eyes, it's not God. I want to challenge you. Faith is an action, but the action's got to be linked to faith. Otherwise, we've just got lots of blind people with mud in their eyes with no ability to see. The thing that caused, hear this, write this down. The thing that caused that blind man to see wasn't the mud, it was the voice of God. Because Jesus said, go and wash, and he did, that's where the release came. Faith is the substance, it's the beginning, it's the root. Without the faith, the action doesn't work. And so I want to challenge you, for those of you that have been contending for something and believing for something and it hasn't worked, the goal isn't to, can you mimic someone else's action? It's what is Jesus asking you? And as you obey the voice, as the faith is linked to action, all of a sudden things start to change. Point number one tonight is faith is given by God. Point number two, faith is an action. Point number three, I'd like to invite the worship team to come join me as I have 12 minutes left. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 33, by faith these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received. Someone say received. Say with faith, say received. Received what God had promised them. What's challenging, it says the way they received wasn't their performance, it was their faith. By faith, they received. You know, currency, in our context, we got the AUD, the Australian dollar. We got it on Apple Pay. We got it in notes and in coins. In America, you got the USD. In England, you got the GBP. In New Zealand, you got the NZD. I don't know what they have in Singapore. I started too soon. What's that? SGD. That's a good one. That's really good. My personal favorite, SGD. Very high, actually, compared to the Aussie. Now, I don't know if you've ever been traveling before, but if you end up in Singapore and you've only got AUD, you're going to have a really difficult time trying to buy meals and get around. I remember this one time, and you might have heard the story before, I was moving from New Zealand to Australia and I was trapped in a room and I was starving and all I had in my pocket was $5 NZD. The problem was my currency was NZD, but the environment was AUD. And so I went up to that vending machine just wanting a meat pie, put in my $5. It took the money. It took it. It's like the hope comes alive, faith starting to brew. Goes all the way in. There's like a moment of pause. My heart's palpitating. It comes all the way out. It's like, what? Okay. So, you know, straighten up the note, try to fix it, do everything I can. I tried this 20 times. And I stayed in that room for 2.5 hours. And I did not eat one meat pie. Why? Is it because the money wasn't valuable? Not quite. It was valuable, just in the wrong environment. See, in order to access the Australian meat pie, I needed the Australian AUD. I want to tell you that faith isn't just a world to live in. Faith is a currency. Faith is the access point. That's why Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. That's why the Bible says, by faith, they received what God had for them. The promises of God were received not through another currency, but through the currency of faith. But how often do we come to God and we bring the currency of our good works? We bring the currency, some of us, of our performance. If I can just jump high enough, if I can scream, we sometimes bring the currency of comparison. Say, well, God did it for them through making mud, so I'm going to make my own mud right now. The problem is that the currency is the wrong currency. It is a currency, it's just in the wrong kingdom. In the kingdom of God, we receive not by works, not by striving, but by faith. See, young person, what God wants to do in your life personally requires the operation of faith. And I want to prophesy tonight that what God is wanting to do in us collectively as a youth ministry requires the currency of faith. And I'm not just talking about the faith of a faithful few. I'm talking about the collective faith of the room. I'm talking about the faith of every year 7 through to year 12, the faith of every volunteer, the faith of every leader, the faith of every person working on production or serving on the team or outside right now managing the building. It requires all of our faith. See, in this place, we are believing for a revival to come to the city of Perth. But I want to tell you, revival's not coming because we prayed long enough. Revival's coming because of faith. Faith might look like praying, but it's not the prayer, it's the faith that does the trick. Revival is going to come to our city, not because we're holy enough. Now, faith might look like consecration and holiness, but that's only the completion of the faith inside. It's the faith that causes God to move. God is wanting to restore faith in our hearts, faith in our lives, faith for you personally and faith for us collectively. We need to do what our faith prompts us to do. And you know, this season in Nations Youth Term 1, we just really feel the emphasis on the term name, faith. And so starting actually next week, we're actually going to fold and no longer do our 7 p.m. prayer for revival every single night. But we're going to shift and we're going to start our services by actually at 7 p.m. sharing testimonies of how God has moved. And it's not because we're not believing for revival. It's not because we don't have faith for it. No, just faith looks like something different right now. Because the goal isn't to tick a box. The goal is to follow the Lord. And so I'm believing as we speak into faith this term, faith is going to arise, faith is going to grow, and faith is going to position us for a collective outpouring of God's Spirit. And maybe for you, you're like, man, me personally, I'm still believing and contending for our city to have an outpouring of God's Spirit. I'm believing Optus Stadium is going to be used for hundreds of thousands of people to give their lives to Jesus. Like, I really believe it. Like, I want you to know it's not a hope. I feel like God has let me see in that reality. I've seen in the mind of the Spirit, churches in revival, with adults running around the room getting undignified, with people getting healed, with lines out the door, with God's glory resting, not just on this church, but on churches all over our city and our state. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm going to keep believing and contending for this. I'm going to keep, even if it doesn't come in the next five, if it comes in 40 years, I'm going to be found faithful. I'm going to be found believing. Why? Because I believe God's spoken and what He said He will do. Can you say amen? But our responsibility isn't to focus on the blueprint of the past or yesterday's wineskin. It's to follow the voice of God now. And we just feel like in this place, for lack of better words, the grace is almost shifted, not lifted, it's shifted into a reprioritizing faith. So we're going to be doing faith testimonies every Friday night. If you have a testimony of God moving in your life, you've got to tell your Connect leader, because I believe we're going to see so many healings and breakthroughs this term. We're going to have faith and action moments in the service as we close worship, because faith requires action. Can you say amen? We're going to see God do the impossible. But what we're going to do in this season is we're going to follow really where the Lord is leading us and learn to live in the realm of faith. You know, if I could have a little bit more microphone, that would be amazing. I'm going to pull it away a bit. Mark 2, verse 5. Jesus saw their faith
and then said to the man, my child, my China, your sins are forgiven. See, faith is needed for personal breakthrough, but faith is also needed for corporate breakthrough. See, God is wanting to build up and restore the ingredient of faith, not just for you personally, but for us as a whole youth ministry. And how do I know this? Well, in Acts 10, the Bible records about Peter going and preaching to the Gentiles. And as he preaches the word of God to them, the Holy Spirit falls upon them and they get filled with the Spirit. They're praying in other tongues. And really, revival happens in the Gentile community. And from that moment on, the church went from being only Jewish to now Jewish and Gentile, which, looking at this room, is the majority of us here. How did that happen? It didn't happen because they were striving. I want to show you in Scripture, the way God did it was by releasing the gift of faith first, and then the Holy Spirit came upon faith. As it says this in Acts 10, verse 44, even as Peter was saying these things, what things was he saying? He was telling them about Jesus. He was preaching the gospel about how Jesus died, rose again, and is coming back. And if you give your life to him, make him Lord, you are now invited into his kingdom. He's preaching the gospel. What does the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or hearing by the word of Christ. So Peter is preaching, they are hearing, and as they're hearing, something happens inside of them. See, I always found it interesting that Cornelius had a vision of an angel and the angel said, go get Peter. Why did God send Peter if he could have just sent the Holy Spirit? Why did Peter need to go first? God could have just sent revival without Peter, but the vision wasn't, hey, here comes a revival move of God. The vision was, go get Peter. Peter comes, Peter preaches the word. Something happens inside him, and the moment that takes place, what does the Bible say? Even as Peter was saying these things. In other words, there was no altar call. There was no now's your moment. The moment faith was alive in that place, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. Why? Because they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. I want to tell you in Acts chapter 10, the essential ingredient for the outpouring of God's Spirit was faith. Why did it happen only after Peter had preached the word? Why? Because that's what's necessary for faith to come alive. But the moment faith is alive and the anointing of God comes into the same place, something starts to take place. Outpouring starts to happen. Personal breakthrough and corporate outpouring. But it's not by performance or striving, it's because a posture of faith is restored. Faith is essential. God could have sent revival, but he sent Peter, who preached the word, and the word released faith, and faith brought the move of God. And I feel in this place, what God wants to do in your high school isn't just to pour out his Spirit. He wants to give you faith first. And when there's a landing strip of faith, the Holy Spirit's got something to move on. Some of you need a personal revival. You need a personal breakthrough in your mental health, in your physical body, maybe in your family. I want to tell you what God wants to do first is restore faith. And when faith is there, the Holy Spirit's got something to land on. And freedom, it takes place however he wants to do it. But the precursor is a restoration of faith. See, this term theme faith, it's not just a cool topic, it's a reality for you to live in. It's an invitation for you to not just visit the world of faith, but learn to live there. And Mark 2 verse 5 says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. I want to ask you tonight, what faith does Jesus see when he looks at you? If the faith of four friends was enough to cause Jesus to move in someone else's life, what does he see when he looks at your faith? Does he see the faith of someone who's given up? Does he see the faith of someone who's tired and exhausted? Or does he see the faith of someone that believes, God, just say the word.
Just speak the word. And the moment you do, I know it's going to happen because your word is true. Your word is tried. Your word can be trusted. What does Jesus see when he looks at you? There are people in this place with all types of faith tonight. Some of you, it feels like your faith has taken a beating. Some of you, you're actually really strong in faith. Post-camp, it's like, come on, I'm ready to go for the year. Awesome. Some of you, it's like you don't even haven't accepted Jesus yet, so there is no faith there. Wherever you're at tonight, the solution is simple. It's come to the author of faith. The solution or problem to the faith equation isn't go strive more, it's come to him. And he might lead you to your word, and he probably will, but it's him. He's the author. He's the one who initiates. Not just initiates, he's the one who perfects. So if we've got a faith conundrum, we got to recognize we have an invitation to intimacy. Because the solution to faith isn't I need to beat my chest and yell more at this leg to be healed. The solution is come to Jesus. Fall in love with the King. Do whatever he tells you to do and receive everything he's promised your life. It's come to Jesus. Learn to live in a different reality than the one you currently live in. Let the gift of faith come alive in you. And as that faith comes alive, the Holy Spirit begins to move. He begins to speak. He begins to outpour. Why? Because faith is restored. Can you say amen? Hey, my time is done. Would you close your books? Would you stand to your feet all across this place? Seeing their faith. What does Jesus see when he looks at you tonight? Maybe you're here, and if you're honest, man, you haven't really been to church for a while. And your relationship with God has gone from being a priority to kind of a side thing in your life. I want to tell you tonight, the King of Kings is in this room and he wants to restore faith in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you actually used to follow God, but you've walked away. And you used to believe, but you've taken the reins yourself and now you're living for yourself. I want to tell you tonight, God loves you so much. He died just for you. He rose from the grave just for you. And he's coming back one day. But I want you to know, he's not coming back for the world. He's coming back for the church. He's coming back for those that are waiting and ready. And I want to give you an invitation. You've got an opportunity tonight to get your life right with God. How do I do that? By giving your life to Jesus. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Not might be, not can be, but will be. The moment you choose to place your trust in Jesus, something supernatural happens. Faith comes alive and you get born again. What that means is all of your sins get completely forgiven, all of your shame washed away. You're no longer worried about going to hell when you die. You're going to heaven. But not only that, you get to live in a new reality here in this world, one where Jesus is your Lord and you're in a relationship with him. So I want to ask everyone across this place to close your eyes. And if you're here tonight, whether for the first time, 100th time, and either your life isn't right with God, and you want to make it right with God, or it used to be right and you want to re-give it back to God, whether for the first time, whether for the 100th time, what I'm going to ask you to do on the count of three is to lift your hand. The reason I'm doing that is, number one, we actually have a gift for you, but number two, the Bible says, if you acknowledge me before people, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. And so there's something powerful about saying, God, I don't just want to say a quiet prayer in a corner to invite Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I want to give my life to you. Jesus publicly was crucified for me. And so I want to publicly say, God, my life is yours. So if that's you tonight, I've got all the eyes closed anyway, but I'll see it. If you're here tonight, say, Matt, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want a fresh start. Friend, even if you might be here and say, Matt, if only you know what I've done, I wouldn't be accepted. No, no. If only you knew what Jesus has done. He was ripped. His body was ripped open. His blood was shed. He willingly endured the crucifixion. They pierced his hands with nails. They pierced his feet with nails. They put a crown of thorns on his head and he hung there willingly and he paid the price for your sin. Why? Because he saw you tonight. He saw you in this room and said, their life is worth it. I want to tell you,
Friend, it doesn't matter how bad you think you are, Jesus is here. He's the friend of sinners. He's the one who comes near, and you can have a relationship with Him too. So all across this place, if you're here tonight, whether for the first time, second time, 100th time, but you say, I need to give my life to Jesus. I want to get right with God. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. I'll see it, and you pop it straight back down. Don't delay. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Make this your moment, this your day. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Would you lift that hand right now? Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So good. I see that hand there. Well done, brother. Thank you. Yeah, awesome. I see that hand over there too. Well done. Come on. We're clapping because it's just the best decision you could ever make. Come on, is anyone else you want to get your life right with Jesus? Awesome. I see your hand there. Thank God. Praise God. Yeah, I see your hand over there. Praise God. I see your hand over there. Well done. So proud of you. Anyone else? Yeah, I see your hand in the middle. Well done. Praise God. Anyone else tonight? You're saying, Matt, that's me. Yeah, I see your guys' two hands. Praise God. Well done. Well done. It's the best decision you could ever make. So good. So good. Looking across this place, anyone else here? And you say, Matt, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. Would you lift your hand nice and high? I'm going to close this moment in the next 3 seconds. 2, 1. Time is gone. Have to come back next week to get right with God. Hey, if you lifted up your hand, we're just going to say a prayer. I want you to repeat these words with me. The whole room's going to say it together. We're just going to invite Jesus to come be our Lord and Savior. It doesn't need to be loud, but you do need to mean it. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart, say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. No questions asked. He's in charge. You are saved. So come on, church, Nations Youth, Nations Church, all one church, really. Why don't we say this prayer together? Come on, repeat these words with me. In fact, all across this room, every person lift your hands high to Jesus. Say this prayer out loud. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on that cross for me. I ask, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Forgive me. Wash me clean. Make me brand new. I give all of my life over to you, and I thank you that you not only died, you rose again. And so I thank you, I have a brand new life in you. Would I never be the same? In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God a mighty clap of praise. So good, amazing, amazing. Hey, there was a lot of hands all over this room. Before we move on, I want to pray for you right where you are. So if you lifted up your hands before, what I want you to do is just close your eyes and lift your hands like this. And I just want to pray for you, believe that God's going to fill you with His presence, okay? So just all across this place, if that's you, you just respond and lift up your hands like this, and I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are the revealer, that you're real. And I ask all across this room, let the presence of the Holy Spirit right now come fill, right now come touch. Right now, I even believe God's breaking shame off people's lives, suicidal thoughts. You are dying right now in Jesus' mighty. You will live. You will live. You will live. I don't know who it's for, but you got to know tonight you're going to live. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for a new life. I thank you for a new day. Holy Ghost, I ask, would you come fill with power right now? Fill with your anointing. Fill with your touch in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, every person, just turn to the person next to you and ask them, hey, did you put up your hand? And ask the person on the other side, hey, did you put up your hand? Or did you want to put up your hand? And if the answer is yes to either of those questions, right now, we want to get that gift to you, not later, but right now in the service. At the back of the room, there's a bunch of stars floating around. If you take them by the right hand, we want you to head right out there for the next 5 minutes. We want to get a gift into your hand. We want to celebrate. We want to clap. So come on, every single, if leaders can help me grab these people, let's give a massive round of applause. Come on, let's go. Yep, yep, yep. Amazing. There's lots of people. So everyone just ask the person next to you, did you say yes to Jesus? We'd love to get that gift in your hand. Yes. Brilliant. I'm coming to make sure you get the gift. Don't mind me. Just coming to three. Yeah, let's give a round of applause, Nations. Let's go. So good. So good. Amazing. Oh, come on. Can we give another shout of praise to Jesus? Hallelujah! Still
still got it. Pastor Shannon can't do that. He probably can. He would just hurt himself. Tonight, I feel like there's an invitation to step into the faith world. But I feel like there's worlds people have been living in that you actually have got to let go of to step into the faith world. Jesus lived in the faith world, which is why the disciples said he's dead, and Jesus said, no, she's only asleep. Same situation, different realities. If you're here tonight, I feel like there are some worlds people have been living in. Some of them, it's the world of disappointment. That God hasn't come through for you in the way you liked him to in the timeline you gave. And it's hurt you and it's injured you. I want to tell you, for you to step into the world of faith tonight, you got to step away from the world of disappointment. You got to relearn to trust God because he is true to his word. And when you learn to hear his word, you learn to trust his word. I believe there's an invitation for you tonight. Step away from the world of disappointment. Step into the world of faith. There's some people in this place tonight, and the world you need to leave behind is the world of striving. The world that convinces you, if I could just do enough, I could get it done. The Bible says it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. There's people in this place, you've been contending for the baptism of the spirit, praying in tongues. I believe you need to step out of the world of striving, come into the world of faith. Maybe you're in this place and you've been contending for a healing or for a breakthrough for many years, and no matter how hard you fast, no matter how hard you pray, nothing's working. I want to encourage you, there's an invitation to step out of the world of striving tonight and step into the world of faith. You don't need to pray for 40 days, but you do need to obey what God asks of you. And the last world that I feel like is in this place that people are in, that you need to step out of, and I say it with sensitivity, but it's the world of powerlessness, where it feels like I can't change my situation. I'm almost a victim to what's happened to me. I'm powerless to the family that I'm in, to the health I have, to the money that I have, to the friends that I have. I'm out of control, and so therefore I'm not responsible for anything. Now, I want to tell you, you're not responsible for what's happened to you, but you are responsible to get into the world of faith. And when you learn to live in a different world, your reality begins to change. But I believe for some people in this place tonight, you need to learn to step out of the world of not only disappointment, not only striving, but the world of powerlessness that says things like, I'm always going to have this skin condition. I'm always going to have this blood condition. I'm always going to be shy. I'm always going to have this pornography addiction. No, you need to step out of agreement with being powerless. Before God delivers you, he wants to set you free in your mind. But there's a world transfer that needs to happen where you come out of, oh man, the devil's been tempting me. The devil's been beating me up. The devil's been harassing me. Yeah, I get it. And he does. But there's a different world to live in. There's a different realm to walk into. It's the realm of faith. It's the world of faith. So all across the place, would you just lift your hands? I want to pray. Can we sing What Tall the Veil, What Emptied Hell?